guten Piscataway. It's nice to be back at Yom Kippur. And we wanted to do again a session that is sort of Yotzim Naklal. We won't start yet Bav Basra. I wanted to look at a few points on Yontiv in general, and something more specific on Sukkot possibly if we have the time. But the idea of Yontiv and Simcha, Sukkot is a quintessential Yontiv in the sense that it's Man Simchaseinu. And I wanted to look at two or three pieces that I photocopied on the PDF. We'll see how much time we have. The pieces are as follows. There's two pieces in the Kuzari, in Maima Sheni and Maima Shlishi. In Maima Sheni it's Nun, in Maima Shlishi it's Yud Aleph. There's in the Rambam, the end of Hilchas Yontiv and the end of Lulav. And Rabbeinu Bechaya and Parshas Pinchas on Nishamayim and Sukkos and on Shmini Atzeres. We'll start with the first piece of the Kuzari, which is really probably one of the most fundamental understandings of the role of Yontiv and Simcha specifically. In Mem Tes, the Kuzari, who is the king of the Khazars and, so to speak, the one that's the questioning, he says, by your hakdamas, I don't understand something. How is it that the Torah, shouldn't you be keeping the Torah by sort of retiring to a monastery and so on and so forth? He's basically working with the assumption that one needs to be withdrawn and so on. And he asks, what exactly is the Torah demanding? So the Chavah responds, Amar Chavah, Nun. And he makes the first point, he says, HaTorah Elokis Loi B'Desana B'Sigufim. Torah did not solely obligate us in mortification. That's not what it's about. Kimli Desana Es Hamida Hanachona. A person is composed of many different types of intellectual, emotional, personality pieces. And unless the Torah is trying to adjust each and every one to have its spiritual input, and they're all important. We're not there to prefer one koch over the other. We need to find in each person's nefesh, we need to find what is it that is required for it. And then he says a big yesod, ki hadofas hakoach ha'echad mevia laznochas koch acher. Anytime you pull the blanket in any one direction, you're pulling it away from another direction. There's no such thing as a tchuna of a person, any aspect of a person that is the tov. Anytime you push in one direction, you pull from the other direction. Other manota tzatkoch ha-taiva, a person who is very into taiva, nechlash bokoch ha-machshava, that automatically takes away from his intellectual pursuit. Person's into pleasure is not into intellectual pursuit. A person is very into, he wants to sort of prove himself right, and he's very driven. It takes away from other things. Now, a person whose body is weak, doesn't have really strong drives, he's not a very, very proactive personality, fasting is going to drain away and make it even worse. It's going to exacerbate his problems. Lehefech, Adam kazetzar l'chazek etz gufo l'man yoshev le'sonai. A person like that has to strengthen his body so that he becomes more strong. In other words, a person is a composite of many different kohos, and the exact balance between the kohos is what Tzol V'Kim is all about. Ve'af mi'ut rechishas kinyanim, an ascetism where he doesn't buy enough things, ein avodas l'kim, eitzel mi'ut rechishim is damenet l'igiyah, ben ratozo somalim v'nachok ma'isatov. A person for whom the acquisition of physical needs doesn't require much input, time, expense, and so on. So not having enough things is not positive. And certainly it says if this person has children or he wants to use the money shemayim, lehefech, leishka zeribe chitshina yesa. So the first thing he puts down the Kuzari is the tov that the Torah insists on is a tov that balances a person's kohos to be over Hashem. So just like somebody who is a completely involved in palm pressing and PR, it will draw him away from any pnimius and anything good, that's in terms of introspection and so on. A person who is completely drawn into introspection and stops being friendly and interacting is also pulling away. The chachma is not to pull in any one direction. It is to give each and every chelik its due. Now he says, if I can put down the axis on or the axe side on which avodas l'kim rests, three of them, chlolo shel dava, shlosha hem yesodas avodas l'kapitah seidu. There are three yesodas in avodas l'kim apitora. Hayira, Ha'ava, Basimcha. There's a triangle of Yira, Ava, and Simcha. Hiskarev Elokecha b'chol achas meila. Come close, draw close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all of these. Ve'ochei, b'kni'oscha b'mei atainis. The humility that is invoked in a person on a day of atainis, and the contriteness. Lo'sikrev Elokai Yisa. Does not bring you closer to Hashem than the Simcha and Shabbos Yom Tov. Im Simchoscha Zubo Mitoich Machshav VeKavana. If this Simcha is a product of Machshav VeKavana, let's first talk about the point he's made, and then we're going to look at this point. He says Torah Kirav Elikim rests on three axes: Yira, Ava, and Simcha. Let's talk about the role of each one of these to be. Yira is the recognition of who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. If a person doesn't properly have the awe and respect for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, doesn't recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Av is also meaningless. I give a mashal always. Let's say somebody was a nephew of the Chazon Ish. And the Chazon Ish was nifter when he was 7 or 8 years old. And this person he remembers the Chazon Ish as Uncle Reb Shaya. And he remembers the Uncle Reb Shaya would pinch his cheeks, would put him on his knees, would play with him, and so on and so forth. And he tells us afterwards, you know, I had a very close relationship with the Chazon Ish. Well, he had a close relationship with Uncle Shaya. Didn't have a close relationship with the Chazon Ish because he didn't appreciate and understand the Chazon Ish. His closeness was to what he perceived, and he perceived an elderly grandfather that could have been anybody off the street. It wasn't the Chazon Ish, it was Reb Shaya. So the first yesod in a kirv at HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yira. Yira means the correct appreciation, understanding, wow, this is the Chazon Ish. This is Lahavdol. That's the first leg of that relationship. The second one is the av, the tshuka that you have to be close. You're drawn close to the godless of somebody of that caliber, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Yira and av are both working in tandem to give a person that sense of closeness.
We have a question yes. here. Why is it that a person has to have Simcha? It seems like
good. That's exactly where we're going to. So we have Yira, we have Ava, which is perfect. What about simcha? Where does simcha come into the picture? So let's understand, and this is simcha, sort of the third piece of the triangle. Let's say somebody tells me, I would like you to meet the world's greatest scientist. He's here for a visit in Washington, and why don't you come down and see him? Or the president, whatever it is. I have great anticipation of the person. It interests me mightily, and I go there. I'm not a scientist. And I'm not going to talk to him about science. And even if I were to hear things from him, that wouldn't make my day. I don't feel more complete. I don't feel better. I don't feel accomplished because I met him. It's a great event that I trade as a marriage with a person. But as they say, Yiddish, sopnit sumir. Simcha is the sense you have on some personal accomplishment. When your relationship, when a person gets married, it's the ultimate simcha because that person has fulfilled me. A person has a child, the person has tremendous simcha because he feels fulfillment. In other words, simcha is the sense of personal fulfillment. When I have integrated into myself whatever it is, the event, the person, the teaching, the accomplishment, when I feel that it has been mashlami, that's I'm provoked with simcha. Simcha is when I have become fulfilled, greater, answered, whatever you want. So yira and ava are the relationship towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Simcha is in the sense the expression of what it means to me. There's a Hebrew colloquial slang expression. When you tell somebody something that doesn't interest the person, you tell them, did you hear this happened? Is that it? And there's an expression, simchas kenti. In other words, it makes my bubba happy. So Kleisel's slang is usher. It means, so what? I'm sure there's a lot more current slang, so I'm a bit dated on slang. But simchas kenti works well. In other words, it doesn't make me happy. So-and-so was elected. So, great. So, I don't feel better because of it. Simcha is the sense of personal fulfillment, accomplishment, zechiya, and that's where simcha comes in. So that's why simcha is the third and most important aspect of it. And just to go a second off the topic, or on the topic better, a person who goes through Yom Kippur can do it because he's duty-bound. HaKadosh Baruch Hu demanded of me, I must answer the call. It's my responsibility, it's my obligation, there's consequences, there are many motives that a person can do things very conscientiously. But if I don't feel happy with it, if I don't feel fulfilled with it, then it has nothing to do with me. Let's give an example where you can see such distinction. A person goes to the army in Israel. Everybody's drafted to the army. Some people don't want to go, would rather not go, do their best to get out of it or not to be part of it. But a person goes because he realizes the country needs people fighting and everybody's got to do their share, and what they're doing is what keeps the country in survival mode. So a person can do it very duty-bound, but he's not a soldier. This is not what his life is about. He doesn't feel happy, thrilled, accomplished, great stay in life. He does what needs to be done because it needs to be done. He does it very conscientiously. But when his 3 years are over, the uniform goes back, and he does his miluim if he has to do it, and that's that. There are some people, they're soldiers, and they want to become a lieutenant, and a captain, and a major, and a colonel, etc., because that makes them happy, meaning accomplished. So when a person does mitzvahs, and there's a simcha shel mitzvah, that tells me that the person has connected to it. It's him. It's not just what he has to do, but it's rather the person. But that's the only type of things that give a person simcha. Now he says a second tonight. When does it bring you closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu? In simcha zuba mitoich machshava bekavana. If the simcha comes from machshava and kavana, ki keshem shatachnunim tzricha machshava bekavana, just like we understand that tefillah requires machshava and kavana, Kach gam asimcho b'divar le'kai mitzvosoi tzricho machshava v'kavona. It needs machshava v'kavona. Why? Leman tismach b'mitzvah atzma mitoich avoscha l'mitzave oleho v'sakim amoyd heitu v'chaba. Because it's only machshava v'kavona that helps you understand who is the one that was mitzavet you, what it symbolizes. Give an example. A person receives an iPod, an Xbox, an iBox. I can't keep up with it. But whatever, the person gets the latest thing. So he's happy because he got this shmanta that sort of he was missing. But it takes thought to say, well, who sent it to me? My friend sent it to me because he thought I'd appreciate it. I really, really feel an unique closeness to my friend who sent this to me as a gift. When a person has a mitzvah as a vehicle of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, and be'etzem the fulfillment you feel in the mitzvah is because you've tied a certain knot to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Samachta Hashem Alekecha, that's where the simcha is in. So it requires, just like standing in tefillah, requires thought so that you understand who you're davening to. It's the thought that gives you the understanding of what's behind it. Thinking into a mitzvah gives you an understanding of who's behind it, who's behind the mitzvah.
We've got a question.
Yes.
The question is, isn't Ava also a personal connection?
Ava means I am drawn to that thing. Let's say somebody's got tons of wits and I love to hear him talk about whatever it is. But it's not really that I've integrated into myself. Marrying somebody means I feel fulfilled because now this person is my life. I can be drawn to somebody who's funny, witty, and yes, in certain ways I like those jokes. I like the Vichachma, a person says. But simcha is that feeling where it's connected with me and it's mischamba with me. That's really where simcha comes in. And I feel a different person because I now understand. So when I hear somebody do a brilliant, whatever it is, that's the ava, I'm drawn to it. Wow, that's awesome, like Rama says. But when I feel that answer has made me a different person, now I understand something I haven't understood in a long time, and I'm so happy because my understanding is complete, that's simcha. So he says, so simcha of mitzvah requires thought. I'm now doing a mitzvah, I'm not kosher with it. I'll say over a story that I said over Leilu Kippur and Yeshiva, I said it over many times also, but it gave me a tremendous understanding of it, just because of the person who said it. There was a Yid Yerushalayim who was a big Oved Hashem. His name was Reb Chaim Brim. Those of you who've learned some tkufas in Yerushalayim, you've probably heard the name. He was a fascinating combination of two worlds. He was a Yerushalmi, but that automatically makes a combination of many worlds. He was a Chassidisha from Biyam. His brother was a Sheshiva in Biyam, Shia Brim. And he was a Talmud of Chazmishin Biskurov, which sort of really is a kind of putting together a few worlds. He lived right behind the Shtiblach Meisharim, and his wife was a Taisik. He would give Chaburis, Vadim, Shmuzin to people in the Mir. He learned the Mir himself and was very kosher with the family. He's very kosher with the, and people came and learned with him and by him. He had the warmth of the Chassidus with an appreciation for the learning and literature world. Fascinating combination. I went with my son, one of my sons, with my children when they got bar mitzvah. I went to him to ask for a bracha. And he would say a few things, you know, Kedako, he was always saying things. So he gave my son a sefer and inscribed it. And he said, I once heard from Rav Volba the following description of a mitzvah. He says, when a mitzvah is done b'shleimus, the mitzvah and the mitzvah and the mitzvah become one. And the word mitzvah is written in Latin, see this actually, the word mitzvah is Russian, seves, like the word seves means to be part of somebody. The Gemara says, letzavsa, you know, that even a kid is not learning, letzavsa ba'alma, to be part of it. The modern Hebrew word sevet, which is a crew, a group of people bound together by something comes from that word. Tzavsa is a word meaning to be bound. So mitzvah, a mitzvah, and a mitzvah, and a mitzvah are all bound together. And Reb Chaim Vrim added, told my son, I've seen this twice in my life. He says, when Siatna Rebbe said, Hishtainis, we did not know him with the lulav, I saw what it means that you become the mitzvah and the mitzvah and the mitzvah become one. And when the Chazanish daven mincha on an ordinary day, that was like it's only somebody who could bring their two words. But it was kind of just I wasn't expecting that one. But the idea is when a person feels in a mitzvah, in the chibur with Elikus, he feels his own shleimus. That's where you have simcha. And he says you need to have kavana. Kachia simcha b'dvar alaykai mitzvosit zirch machshav kavana. Leman tismach b'mitzvah atzma, you're happy in the mitzvah. Mitoich avoscha la mitzvah leho. From the arva of the person that was mitzvah. When a person gets a piece of jewelry, there's a happiness to it. It's nice jewelry. When you get it from your chosm, or from your kala, that's an incredibly deeper simcha because this binds you to the person that gave it to you. And you understand what kind of tova Kadosh Baruch Hu did for you. It's as if he called you and invited you. I want to explain a dimension that we're missing in Yom Tov. We think of Yom Tov as the sukkah, lulav, matzah, Shavuos, maybe the learning. We think of Simchas Yom Tov, Bas and Yayin. But unfortunately, we missed the whole most significant part of Yom Tov. Yom Tov was Shalosh Panim Bashana. You're called Nitzchurcha. You're called Nitzchurcha. As Hashem Lekecha. Three times a year, we lived in Eretz Yisrael. We all had our own farms and things and so on and so forth. And three times a year, HaKadosh Baruch Hu invited us. And we came to him. And as Liros Liros, that means three times a year, we came back home and were invited. And that's what Yom Tov was about. So if a person has that sense, it's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is inviting you to his table. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is inviting all of Klal Yisrael to come for Yom Tov. That's an extraordinary sense of simcha. V'sein shevach al kach v'firu libecha. Express it. V'im tala lizuscha b'mitzvahs el madregas hazem v'rikud. And if your joy in the mitzvah overflows into singing and dancing, yulucha gam eila v'ez lakim. That becomes avodas hakim. Ve'af al yodam tidbak b'nelki. And through them, you will become davuk in the divine. And then he proceeds to say that the Torah, even for that, the Torah didn't give it to each person to make it as he wishes. The Torah gave certain shiurim and so on. I want to just go back to this piece about the zem and the rikud. The idea of zemer and rikud and how that should be, the understanding, I guess, that we as sort of litvisha understand it is as follows. And we use a chassidish avart to understand it. There was a movement within chassidus, a sub-movement called Kotsk, and Shishcha to some degree was the father, of Kotsk, the Ruchnistic father of Kotsk, and Mendel Varka, who was a Kotzker like, where they very much they reacted against the over emotionalism and sentimentality of previous chassidus. They felt it wasn't genuine. They felt it was an end to itself. It started with itself, and they very much believed in holding emotions in check. And the only emotions that were genuine were those that you tried your hardest to hold them in check and they exploded. That's a genuine emotion. But where you start with pumping emotion, that's not genuine. That was sort of a reaction to it. And there's a vart from Rabban Lavarka, who was sort of a Talmud of the Kotzke, not literally, but sort of a Talmud of the Kotzke. He was a son of a former Talmud of the Kotzke. And he was very given to this type of derech. And he said, Oz Yosher Moshe. So Rashi says, like it says in the Pasuk, Oz Ol Al Gadoisa. That's when it overflowed. And he teaches it that singing means an overflow. You can't say, okay, Rabbi Yisai, where we will have now a singing session. Now it's singing time. Oz means at that point, Shir broke out. Like the pasuk that says, Oz Allah Gadoisav, it overflowed. It's all of the machshavtoy. It says Oz Yosher, all of the machshavtoy. Oz Yosher means all of the machshavtoy. So he said, I'm sorry, he added, like it says, Allah Al Gadoisav. Now, all of the machshavtoy means his mind overflowed into Shira. So Rashi says, Oz Ola Machshavtoi, you know, was Oz Yosher mean Oz Ola Machshavtoi? And he says, Ola Machshavtoi like Ola Al Gadoisa. That's where it goes. It overflowed its banks. Machshava is the only thing that's genuine. And a person should focus on thinking about things. And when that overflows into song, that's when it's real Shira. So look at the way the Kuzari says. Vim tala zocho b'mitzvahs al madregas ha-zemarikud. If your happiness of it brings you to zemarikud, that becomes avodas olakim. And that brings you closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the happiness and the simcha, the song and the dance, should be things that come overflow from a person's understanding of what's happening. If I am with HaKadosh Baruch Hu now, and there's a closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that is indescribable, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has called me to be part of his shulchan, a person's thinking of that should bring him to want to break out in dancing and singing. Somebody told me once a story. From the Mir Yeshiva in Shanghai, most of them came to America. A group of them founded Beis HaTalmud, which was a yeshiva that was sort of a Mir. That was like the Mir in America. The Chabur of Talmidim of Leit Mal and so on. Many of them never got married to find Shir in America. And they were Chashuvi Olam. And one of them was a yid called Reb Shmuel Charkava. The Reb Shmuel Charkava was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. He was also a profoundly emotional person, and he actually had he actually was a very musical person. I think he could play fiddle and compose things. But like all good mirrors, this was a very, very kind of sideline activity, and it wasn't given prominence. But that was his personality. A few days after Sukkot, like Ben Azmanim, somebody walked in Beis Medrash, and he was standing by the bima, singing away and sort of carrying on like a whole production. He didn't see anyone else in Beis Medrash, and then he noticed this person looking at him. He kind of was a little bit embarrassed, whatever. And he said, "A train can't stop on a dime." In other words, Sukkot, Simchas Torah, you can't just stop on the dime. Okay, now it's Abdullah with this. It takes a while from when you break the train to when the train actually stops. And that was where he described his own feeling. Somebody also told me, I don't know if it was the same person, that's been a long time, that he once came into his medrash late at night and he saw him and his chavrusa dancing around the bima. They had, whatever, they had come up with something and they were doing a little reek around the bima. Yeah, that was his person. But the mashal to what we're saying over here is that's been an overflow. The simcha and the mitzvah is an overflow into into song and dance. One of the things, one of, yes.
Here's a question that came up. Rosh Hashanah, we say that, Yom Nirayim, Tzadikim Yira V'Yismachu.
Yeah.
It seems that there is an element of Yira.
No, Yira V'Yismachu means they will see. They will perceive and they'll see. And what's, you know, we're talking about a Hizgalus of the Emes, and Tzadikim will perceive this, and they will be happy with it. So out of that sense of thought and so on, that's what emotionalism becomes. I want to add another point to this. One of the things that one of the terrible effects of where we want the fruit without the plant and the roots. A simcha, everybody likes simcha. Everybody feels good about simcha. So what you try to do is you say to yourself, oh, let's have a happy time. Let's make a party. There's an Israeli song. It's one of these things made for an accordion on a kibbutz night to sing and dance. And it goes something about mechei kapayim, clap hands. Simcha bekeflayim, you'll be twice as happy. In other words, sort of rev up everybody to dancing and singing, you know, mechei kapayim, simcha bekeflayim, it's an old, you know, vintage 50s or 30s song, kibbutz song. I remember hearing it once on the radio and saying to myself, it's pathetic. I remember hearing advertisements, party, let's make a party, let's make a party. Well, let's make a party means there's no reason for it, there's no rhyme for it, but let's just be happy. But happiness is the fruit of a tree that's been growing. It's not a thing, it doesn't come by itself. And the same thing as the Ruchnias. Chassidim, when they would ask Chassidim why they drank to make simcha, which also seems to be counterproductive, the answer was that they're greasing the wheels. In other words, don't think you have a car and you put grease on the wheels to get it moving, but once it moves not because of the grease, but the grease just facilitated it. It's like sometimes a person really, really has a reason to be simcha. We know we're close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us, and we know we're over Hashem, but, you know, we have like tzaras and snap. You sort of take a shot at two, get rid of tzaras, and an inner happiness emerges. Because the value that Chassidim attested to the drinking and other things was to sort of grease the wheels and bring out the national simcha. But everyone's might, if there's no national simcha, there's not going to be a real value to that act. Okay, so this is a very famous kuzri explaining about how simcha brings a person close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as close as anything else. It is one of the tripod of emotions that's supposed to bring a person close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's supposed to come about by recognition and understanding of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, and simcha has a way of overflowing into dance and song, but these are all meaningful only when it's an overflow of a person's sense of simcha through a hakara, machshav, and so on. There's another piece in the Kuzari here, and this is Mayim HaShlishi Aleph. He speaks about a general day of an Ovid Hashem, the general pattern of Ovid Hashem. The piece we want to see is complementary to the piece we saw before. And it's the paragraph that on Amud Kuf Ches in the photo you have. V'hine, in the last paragraph. V'hine in Sofik B'davah, she'ahava l'likai v'yiru mipanav, nichnotos b'nefesh ha'odam ikim tzeilu. Doing all these mitzvahs bring a person to Avinira. U'b'tnai she'kaimam l'fi ashir sh'netam b'm teira. And the condition is, it needs the shear that the Torah gave. In other words, it needs the balance. And we all know it. When we have a relationship with somebody, we want a healthy balance of a respect for me, a liking for me, an enjoyment of my company, respect for my privacy. There are different balances go into it. But the shiurim are, on the one hand, leval tivi'ehu hasimcha b'shabbosos yom tovim, lemadreges lemavim ha. On the one hand, an overdoing of familiarity. Simcha takes a person out of control, and a person begins to lose control over himself. And the simcha, even certainly on the low dagas, but even on higher dagas, it takes a person away from Avodas Hashem sometimes. On the other hand, ulival to be ehu hayira l'isyashus ma'mechila v'aslicha. Shadei kach yishor adu b'fachat ha'mechayav v'yav ha'mitzah simcha b'chalko sh'instavenu aleo b'mayma v'somach t'chotev z'mechayach. If a person lives just with the yira part of it, just with the part of how far we are, and so on, then a person doesn't have simcha. If I keep stressing about how far away I am, how unaccomplished I am, how not good I am, there's no place for simcha. A person doesn't give the appropriate shevach. In other words, a person who is unhappy cannot praise. How do I praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Praising doesn't just mean, wow, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is great, fantastic, infinite, etc., etc. Praising requires that I see a positive value in it. How Ashreinu Matov Chalkeinu allows me to praise. For instance, let's give an example of what I mean. Let's say there's a school that's extremely demanding in its standards and it's very, very prestigious in the students that it's produced. And let's say I fail the entrance examination or the exit examination. And I'm not part of that school. I don't have the accomplishments associated with it. I may say about the school, yes, it's a very tough school and very demanding, very high. But that's not quite the shevach of that. I don't say it's a great and fantastic place because I've turned away from it. It has nothing to do with me. So I can give it high marks, but the word shevach implies a personal appreciation of it. When I've been there and it's demanded of me and I've produced and I've grown because of it, that's not a meshabech. A person who lives life without simcha cannot be meshabech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is great, fantastic, infinite. I'm in a hole. I don't sing the Shvachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When I'm attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is great, and I'm infinitesimal, but Shmeinu Karasa B'Shimcha, but somehow you've taken us along with you. That's that type of expression is Shevach. And the Simcha is required to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu because, yes, we are part of it. We belong. I want to explain a point about Chassidus and what they try to accomplish. There's a very shallow way of looking at it that the outside world looks at, and the secular writers looked at Chassidus as follows. Life in Europe was terrible. It was rotten. People were poor. Their lives were in danger sometimes. There was no hope. Everything was really down, 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 down. And the Litvish Magidim would kind of be very, very, they'd tell us about how terrible Gehenna was, and things were terrible and more terrible, and and people were really, really depressed and down. So Baal Shem Tov came along. Baal Shem Tov was kind of sort of a modern type of feel-good type of person, and he said, well, why do you have to live like that, feeling how bad things are? Why don't you just drink and sing and dance and just be happy, lead a life? And everything will be good. Just be happy. Dance, clap, sing, drink, and you'll be happy. That's a terrible, terrible, that's a very, very, very terrible message. It's a very stupid one. It's a way of saying, it's an anesthesia for the realities of life. Any good psychologist knows that anesthetics might be a short-term fix, but certainly the long-term fix. If the honest truth is that from the perspective of a person, things are rotten, and there's nothing being done to better them, that's a horrible, I mean, that's basically palliative care for terminal patients. Well, it's not a great movement. Every psychologist tries either to find the points that are really positive in that situation or a way how to build up towards things that are positive, because then you're dealing with reality. And getting away from reality, smoking yourself insane with pot, is not the Mederach HaChachma, not Mederach HaEmes. What the Baal Shem Tov said was as follows. Reb Yid, you woke up this morning, which means that this morning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I want Yank of this world. There's a Vayipach Ba'apach every morning. That's what we say. Elekai, Nishama Shunesatabi, Atanefachtabi. Every morning, a person gets up and says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Yisrael HaShabachoy Espoya, I'm proud of you because of what a Yid does, because of what a Yid endures, because of the potential Yid has. And even if we're short and way short of where we've come, but the cup is so full, and even if the cup is not full, the fountain is right next to the cup. The cup is waiting to be filled because if the cup is full of potential and the fountain is waiting to fill it, that's very, very happy. There's no money in the bank, but I have a check in the mail. So, I mean, yes, if I'm under $1,000 and I have a check for $5,000, I wouldn't be happy. Yes, I have to go to the bank, I have to cash it, I have to ask the guy to give me credit, whatever it is, but it's there. The Baal Shem Tov wasn't coming to tell you that you should be besimcha because just be besimcha. Even Hashem besimcha is not a meaningless phrase. You can't, if somebody once said, about certain groups of chassidim that walk around working on simcha. He said, a friend of mine said, there is nothing more depressing than to see a depressed person pretending he's happy. If the simcha is by just singing and dancing and forgetting about the world, that's a terrible, terrible approach. It's basically, that's drugs, a different version of drugs, a cheaper version of drugs. Smil Simcha is understanding how much good a Yid has, how much potential is in everything. I'm putting on a Pirat film. How many we do in a day? Vitzivana. Kadosh Baruch Hu is telling us to do this, telling us to do that, and we're doing it. And with all the shortcomings, look at what we do have. And when a person is the Simcha, he can be Meshabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Baruch HaLekeinu. That's the simcha. The simcha is we have so much. And that's why, and so his second piece here, the Kuzari is saying, a person cannot be mekayim. Simcha, truly, it cannot become shevach, because shevach is not an artificial appreciation, but it's rather a personal note of appreciation. It's not an artificial appraisal of the value of X, Y, or Z, but it's shevach is your appreciation of something. That's a better word than appraisal. Right? So yes, appraisal versus appreciation. I can appraise things that don't belong. I can look at the painting you have and say, my gosh, that painting is worth millions and millions of dollars. That's an appraisal. It's not an appreciation. When I have something that's very valuable, I appreciate it. And that's what simcha, that's what shevach is, and can only come if the person himself feels part of it. And that's where simcha comes in. Those are two pieces in the Kuzari that we saw. Very, very fundamental pieces of simcha, and it's shayach zman chaseinu. We have a little more time. Let's take with the Rambam that's in the end of Hilchis Lulav. And Kedako, it sort of complements things we've seen. Yud Beis. Afal Pishik, this is the second piece I sent out, I think, and not included in the first file. It's if you're more comfortable, look at it.
I put them both together.
What?
I put them both.
You put them both together. Excellent. It's Perik Ches Halacha Yud Beis. Afal Pi that all of my others went to the Smach Ben Chag HaSukkos there was a Simcha Yisera. Yud Gimel, how was the Simcha? The Cholul is Make Menagin Bekinar. And everyone in a cliche shadel nagenboy, or misha dea bepeh is bepeh, for roikdin, or mesapkin, or metapkin, or fazin, or mekarkin, kol echot vechvishadeh. Everyone expresses his simcha in whatever way he can, whether it's the type of, whether it's dancing, clapping, whatever. The oimrim divei shiur sisbachos. And you say divei shiur sisbachos. That's what you catch the kuzari, that it's all, each one does it in a way that he knows how to do it. And what you're doing is you're saying shiur sisbachos. You dalit. Mitzvah laharbos v'simcha zu. It's a mitzvah to be marvin the simcha. But it wasn't open to the dancers and singers of the world, Tamaratzin. They were the ones who did this dancing and singing. Remember the Kuzari, that it has to come as a result of machshava. It has to come as a result of, it's an expression of appreciation. So the people who can express it, the Chachmei Yisrael, Rashi Yeshivas, and Chassidim, they're the ones that are appropriate to express it, because they're expressing the simcha on what they have. Avul kolam anoshim anoshim kulon boin lirais v'lishmaya. They all come to see and to hear. In other words, seeing a person whose life is so filled with a likus, at the moment when it breaks into simcha, is a very, very enriching experience. By the way, this is a mocker for going to a tish. Well, that depends what you think of the Rebbe. But the idea of watching somebody being over Hashem with a hislavos and so on, if it fits the criteria of Golach HaMizon, that would be for everyone to decide himself. But then there's an Indian to be liris l'shma. Kol ha'am, anash ha'ashav, kol ha'boy liris l'shma. Yes, there's something to be gained by being part of somebody's personal expression of simcha. Just like when you join somebody for a chasna, it's his simcha, in the sense that he's sameach, that he's getting married and so on, and he's becoming part of it. Tesvav. Hasimcha sheyismach adam basiyas hamitzvah. The simcha the person is sameach is in the doing of the mitzvah, ube'avas hakel shetziva behem, and the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu who gave you the mitzvahs, like the kuzari that we saw. Avoda gedolehi, it's a tremendous avoda. V'chol hamoneya atom simcha zu. And anyone who refrains from the simcha, royally paramimeno, shenema tachas hashavat shankecha b'simcha tovleibov. The klolus and the tochacha come because a person is not always the same simcha tovleibov. V'chol amegis daitoi, v'chol lekavod la'atzmo, u'miskavet b'enu komas elu, choyte v'shoyte. I want to explain where he's coming from. As Americans, we don't give much to kavod. Kavod and dignity is not a great value. Letting loose and having a good time is good for everybody. And so therefore, as Americans, we have a hard time understanding the Rambam. But when people still had a bit of a tzuras adam, nechbados is very important. And a king bore himself with great dignity. And a person would not be light or loose. A grown-up person would run around the street like a kid or playing ball. The idea that a grown-up person would go in shorts and jump up and down. Like, nechbadus was a key element in a person's sense of self. And the nechbadus at its core is a dignity, is holding yourself in rein. And dancing like a dancing is a certain sense of letting yourself go. When you dance, your guf becomes really a puppet of your feelings, and it knows no reins. So dancing, in when a person lets loose, is the opposite of self-importance. So a person who feels important is not going to dance like a little child. I'm not a clown. I'm not the local entertainer, and so on.
That was Michal Bashal.
That's exactly what he says. If someone doesn't scabbard beinam mekom aselu, chote the shote. He's also chote and shote. Valze he is the shlomo v'ama al tisharet melech. That's what almost says. Don't prava godless in front of a melech. So the person who is a high rank, when somebody lower comes to him, he holds his dignity. When the king asks for something, you run on all four. V'chol amashpel atzmai. A person who lowers himself and lets himself loose, who hagadol v'amechubed o'ibid ma'ale. That's the real kavod. V'chein, and this is the story Ravazi referred to. But Michal Bashol was a princess. She was a real princess. She married David, who was a commoner, kind of, and sort of a. And there was achnasa sefer Torah. They brought back the Torahs. And she saw him dancing away like he'd be a bachan. And she said, very cynically to him, she said, "Manichpad ayoy melach Yisrael, b'negleisaka achad me'areikim." It must be a very important day, Mr. King, when you look like one of the local yokel guys who dance at bars. And David HaMelech told her, I would even make more light of myself, and I would still feel not enough. And he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took me from the barn someplace. I was a little shepherd someplace. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who gave me the malchus and the dignity and everything I have. What does it mean I hold ears before him? What does that mean? Where are you when it comes to front of yourself? The lightness a person displays, the sense of not holding himself, being buttled to the sefer Torah and so forth. That is the that's the kavod adam. So the dancing requires that type of activity. Want to add one more Rambam, and then we'll finish that in Rambam Yontov Perek Vav. He speaks about a Yontif schedule. He gives us a schedule for Yontif. In Yutes, Perikvav Yutes, he says, "Afapish achila v'shtiya madas chal mitzvah sasei," even though it's a mitzvah, le'oichol v'shoyes chayim kulei. Person shouldn't eat and drink all day. Alakach yadas. This is an appropriate hanhaga. In the morning, you go to shul. You daven. You read the Torah in Yonah Ayoyim. You go back and eat something. V'holchol bat medrashas. You go to Beis Medrash. And you learn for half a day. After chatzos, you daven mincha, and you go back to your house to eat and drink like the main suda until the night. Chaf, kishadam oichol v'sheise v'sameach beregel. When a person eats and drinks during yontif, lo yimoshech b'yayin v'schoik v'kalas reish, he shouldn't just keep drinking and, you know, just being light, and say v'yoyma. The more I drink, the merrier I am, the more simcha there is. Shashichros vaschok haraba, oschok harbe, vikalus arosh, ena simcha. An over amount of drinking, lightness, lightheadedness, is not simcha. Ela hololus vasichlus. Velonitzavina hololus vasichlus. You see from here, shavoda b'simcha. There's an avoda with simcha. It's not possible even Hashem. In America, there is a definition of happiness, or probably the predominant definition, that is a stark loggerheads with what is the definition of simcha that the Torah gives. Happiness and the word fun are synonymous in English. They tend to be synonymous. There is no word for fun in Lashon Kodesh. There is a word that was imported from Arabic, kef, because there is no kef in Lashon Kodesh. Lashon Kodesh is not kef. Fun means hololus, kalos rosh. Things are tough. When you do something that's fun, it's like no pressure, no stress. It's pre-kasol. And people need sometimes to be pour gold. They need it, and but that's not an avoda. Person goes and does something carefree to relieve them of stress and strain. There's some benefit sometimes, but it's not avodas Hashem in any sense of the word. Avodas Hashem is a deep process where, like we saw before, out of thinking, we're as fun, Holus and Shikris's point is to short circuit thinking and to try to get rid of the pressures of thought. Simcha is an expression of the deep thinking process. And therefore, the Simcha and Yantiv requires come from a makom of Avodas Hashem, not Prikasol. And therefore, the Rambam says, don't confuse Simcha on Yantiv with Prikasol. It's not having fun, it's being Samech, Samechta, Bechagecha, and so on. Akapanim, we should. Yes.
A couple of final questions. First, would it be appropriate for people to emote during Fila? Or is this just part of the Hasidic dichotomy?
It's part of that dichotomy. You know, there is a makom to say it's appropriate, because if you really had emotions, it would overflow. And some people feel it, there's a tendency for that to overshadow the davening. You know, that's already sort of shita's approaches. Yes.
Thanks. Is overall,
are they your questions that, or your?
No, these are from my mom.
Yeah.
Overall, is Rebbe saying that Rosh Hashanah Kippur is a time mashad on Yir and Ava?
Yes.
Where Sukkot is a bubbling over.
Yes. Sukkot is the emotional bubbling over of Yom Nirek. That's what it's supposed to be. Refutna has a beautiful piece where he explains how Sukkot is something which is the culmination, both the culmination of Yom Tovim and the culmination of Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. But Sukkot is definitely, it's when we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mochulas and our tefillos were accepted. Many, many chazal that link it to, I mean, they obviously link, you go from one to the other. But yes, it is. Okay, we should be zochet to real simcha. We should have a ton of simcha shal mitzvah. And Be'ez Hashem, hopefully after Yom Tiv, we'll get to a regular learning schedule, Be'ez Hashem. Thanks, Amir.